cold. Number two, it's raining. I don't like the raining. But number three, which trumps it all, I love the Lord. And I want to be here this morning. I'm glad to see all of y'all do too. Before we start this morning, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Lord, to be here. Father God, to worship together, my brothers and sisters in this assembly and our congregation, Lord, to lift up the beautiful name of Jesus and exalt your great and mighty name, your good name, Father. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity, Lord, to speak the words you placed in my heart. Help me, Lord, to speak them with clarity, with understanding, as you have shown them to me. And we know, Lord, that your word will go out and will not return void. And we thank you for it, whereby is how we grow. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't exactly know what to do about the title, which I really never do. I don't get hung up on titles much at all. I just speak what's inside me and start talking. But if I had to call something, speak the miracle from your mouth. Now, we've been taught, I've been here 11 years, going on 11 years, and we've been rightly taught from the Word of God how we ought to act, how we ought to be, how we ought to live, how we ought to think. Because it says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and women too. And we've also been taught how to speak. Straight from God's Word, how to speak what we need. Each and every person, even the lost, have a miracle, but they have to speak it to get it. You have to have the faith to get it, and you have to speak it to make it come into being. Every person in this congregation, every person that can hear my voice in our social media and our website ministry, every person in the world, at some point in their life, if not today, sometime is going to need a miracle in their life. The lost need the miracle. You need it for healing. We need it for our marriages, if you're married. If you're not married, you need it to get into the marriage, to have the right one to be married and covenant to with God. You need it for your family life, for your work life. For every single thing that you walk in life, at some point in your life, you're going to need a miracle. Now, sometimes it's not going to be manifested as a supernatural thing, but it is still a supernatural thing. Because when you ask God for something, and you believe God for something, and from here on out, I was talking to the Lord the other day, I want to share this with you. Now, Jesus says and tells us, and we're taught, if we can only believe. If we believe, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how can I, you know, if I'm witnessing to someone that's lost, how can I explain to them what believe means? You know what? It was real simple. He said, believe means you know. Jesus said, if you believe, God sees when you believe because when you know, it's in your heart. And the scriptures tell us that. But everybody needs some kind of miracle in their life. And as I said before, the lost, unsaved people will need the first miracle in their life. They need to know Jesus Christ through faith and the plan of salvation and redemption, where they can be redeemed back to the relationship with the Lord and begin living that life eternal and life here on this earth more abundantly. As born-again Christians, we all time need miracles. And it's not so much we need them, it's the favor of the Lord. Now, my miracle of getting my vehicle fixed or my light bill paid may not be the same as a miracle as supernatural as someone that can't walk starts walking, but they're both miracles. And every miracle has to have faith for it to happen. Now, I'm going to show you some scriptures today. How we can apply that. But we have to speak it. And you might think, well, why can't I just think it? Because it says, would you put Proverbs 18:21 up there? I'm going to do 20 and 21. We all know these scriptures. But it's so very powerful. It cannot be passed over. It cannot be made lightly of. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, we all know what that means, right? And you notice the first three words, death and life. It's one or the other. No in between. I used to live a life trying to live in between before I got born again because I thought I was born again and I wasn't born again and the devil had me deceived. You see where that's going? I needed a miracle. And the Lord supplied one in this very place at this altar. I've testified to it and I'm very proud of it. Not that I'm a prideful person, but I enjoy what the Lord gave me through my miracle of being redeemed. He brought me out of the deceit that I was living in because there was a lot of times I had some, you know, I didn't have a near-death experience where I left my body, but I was in situations where it didn't take just that much more and I would have died or gotten killed. Wrecks, other situations I'm not going to go into. The Lord saved me from all of that to where I could speak that miracle right here and say, Lord, I want what they had. I want what I feel in this house. Even though little did I know that the feeling I was wanted, for lack of a better word, in our human emotions is not the right word. I wanted to believe. I wanted to know. And when God seen I wanted, He supplied my miracle for me. Every lost person's got to have that. And once I got born again, I was in a good place because after you get born again, the next step, and it's not my message this morning, but the next step is discipleship for all of us. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 18 that the Lord has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm not going to go deep in that, but to know where we are and what we have and where we stand and what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to learn about our Savior, Jesus, and become His disciple. And I was in the right place, and I'm still in the right place because I'm still learning. I'm going to learn all I can, although I'm a little slow about it sometimes. Life and death, death and life. In other words, whatever you speak is going to be like gold and silver in your life, or it's going to be like poison and cause death. Doesn't matter what it is, it's the words. You can speak goodness in your life, or you can speak bad. You can speak failure, or you can speak success. And trust me, you're looking at a person that had to learn the hard way to keep this thing up here shut and not say the wrong things. Ask April. I used to get husband smacked, I call it. She'd pop me a little bit. Don't say that no more. Because I would say the wrong things. And you know what happened when I found out and finally, hard-headedly, quit doing that and started saying the right things? Better things started happening. I started experiencing miracles in my life and breakthroughs and victories that were already there, but because I didn't speak them, I could not access them. Oh, I believed. I said I believed the Lord. But I didn't really know because I didn't have them. And after I believed and I know and I did what God's Word says I'm about to point out, I started experiencing them. And praise God, it works. God give us, our Creator, seven openings in our head. Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, and one mouth. It's a good thing we only have one mouth. Because a lot of people have trouble controlling that one thing. You can use it to praise God and thank Him. Or you can use it to bring on, like I said, defeat, failure, and any other kind of poison and death-related destruction things in your life. The Bible message is clear about controlling your tongue. Excuse me. Will you put James chapter 3, verse 2 up, please? Every one of these scriptures I'm sure we've heard in this house today. But I'm telling you, when my breakthroughs came whenever I started believing and knowing and practicing and doing these things. It says, for we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, what's your speech? Words. Exactly. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he has truly developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body. And the word perfect means mature, not perfect as in do no wrong. Fully developed character and a perfect man, mature man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. I want somebody in here to raise their hand if you ever, we're just going to use one emotion, got mad and acted, we're going to use a big word for me here, irrationally, means way bad to the extreme, and something good came out of it. Me neither. Me either. Now, I want to ask you to raise your hand. If you held your temper and held your tongue and didn't say what's going through your brain right here and become that mature person, has anybody ever done that? Yes, I have. I've been both ways. I like the last one the best. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all are not around me a whole lot on a day-to-day basis. My job, my last trial was on my job learning to control this thing right here. Because every time my job, the man in authority over me, give me something to do and I didn't like it, I'd pick my phone up. Now, you might say, well, you didn't say it. If you put words out here, it's words. And I texted him, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't cuss or use no bad language because I'm going to get to that. That's not good either. That's the doctrine of demons. Every time you use a bad word, you open the door to the demon for Ephesians 4:27 to operate in your life. You don't believe me? Study. I'm not going to tell you to do it, but that's what happens. But I learned the hard way. There's times to speak, and there's times not to speak. Whenever I'm talking about miracles, whenever you speak the power of the miracle into your life, that's the good. That's life. And whenever you speak anything opposite of that, contrary to that, that is not that, that is death. And you might say, well, I didn't say nothing real bad. I didn't say anything real bad. But I complained. I'm a born-again child of God. The Lord, the Holy Spirit explicitly brought up in my spirit, how are you going to witness to that guy if he don't want to be nothing like you? I about cried. I don't cry real easy. It takes some inner emotion to bring tears to my eyes. Because you know what would happen? When I stand before the Lord, and I never made that situation right, and I did. And something happened, that man died, and he wouldn't hear what I had to say about God. Guess who's going to give an account for that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Even though I was not speaking against myself, per se, in words, I spoke against my life and my testimony, and it caused somebody else to stumble, or could have. I ain't saying it did. He didn't say it did. But it could have. I don't want that. What if somebody I was to meet, or any of us, out in their everyday life, maybe one time you've seen that person witness to them, and they maybe remembered to come to church here, or happened to come to church here, but seen something out of us in our everyday life that was not Christian-like. And then they come to church here and see that we're here. The first thing they're going to do is not come back. That's the way Satan works. He's going to use deceit. So number one, whenever you speak these words of life or death, you better be careful. It's not only you that it affects. It's other people. And a husband, and a wife, and a mother, and a father, and even children. Your words have meaning. There is no such thing as no words that mean nothing. You put them out there, they're there. Husbands and wives, speak life into your marriage. Now don't get me wrong, me and April have a really good marriage. I don't brag on it enough. The Lord has blessed us. Me and her get along really well. We've never had any really, really bad fights for a husband and wife. We've had a couple or three or four in 14 years, pretty heavy disagreements to where we, not in the right spirit, get away from each other. be mad. Me or her, maybe sometimes both of us. But we both found this out. When we lay that anger down, or whatever the problem we was, and go back to each other and said, I'm sorry, I love you, I don't want this. Whether we thought we was right or was wrong, you know where it put that problem? From here, all the way down to here. What if we had not done that? I believe that's the thing that keeps our marriage so strong. I know she's done it for me, and I've done it for her. I have apologized to her and stopped the thing dead in its tracks, whether I thought I was wrong or right. Because I love her. She is a blessing sent to me from God. Why would I speak anything that caused death towards that blessing? My marriage is a blessing, a covenant between me and her before God. I'm not going to take any chances with it. Yes, she's a woman of God. She knows God's word concerning being a submissive but godly Christian woman and wife. But I could make her life miserable by not being the same as a husband toward her. And I don't want that. I want her to be happy. I want her to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I want her to have all that I can give her, the Lord can give her through me. I want her to be happy. I want to speak that miracle into her life. See what I'm saying? It's not just me. And is it easy? She's shaking her head. No, it's not easy. It's especially not easy for her because, you know, I'm a little hard-headed. I'm not near as bad as I used to be, and I'm getting better. But I listen. I watch. I study her because she is what God gave me. I am her covering. I am the man. I am the one that's responsible for her. I want to be the one that makes her life better, not worse. Now, women, I can't tell you from a woman's viewpoint, but I can tell you what the Word of God says. It says in Psalms 128, that's a man's Psalms, that when a woman is living, I'm going to paraphrase, a godly life, and her husband is, she will flourish like a vine. That means she'll grow and blossom and be the most beautiful thing around. And then it says, you know, submit to your husband. Husbands, don't be a mean boss. And I didn't really mean on speaking all this. It's not nowhere in my notes. It just came up in my spirit. Because I'm not trying to be a marriage counselor by no means. But I can tell you from example of my own marriage how to do what's good for you and what's bad for you. So what I want to do is I want to speak a miracle into my marriage. What I do, I love you. I'm talking to April. I want you in my life. You're second only to God. You come before all others. What does that mean? Now, I don't have a lot of guy friends I go out and hang out with all the time. But if I did, and I was maybe planning to go hang out with them, and she comes to me and says, look, I know you plan to do this, but I really, you know, I need you to be at home. I need you. I drop the plans and stay with my wife. Because as much as I love all you guys, if we was going somewhere, I mean, I love every one of you guys. I like hanging out with you. But y'all ain't the one God gave me to live life with. And you sure ain't a woman, you know. And that's what God gave me. Of course, God's not going to give a man to be married to. I didn't mean to imply that either. So I'm going to speak the miracle in my marriage. I had another little lesson learned about my kids. Speaking a miracle over your kids. I have laid hands on all my kids, all of them. I've got a grown son. I have prayed for him. And all the kids I helped raise, I have laid hands on and prayed for them and spoke blessing into their lives. I was taught that here in this church, Word of God teaches it. And when I seen it was taught in the church, I did what Brother Scotty said and what my daddy taught me to do is go to the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. The words that Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty, anybody in this pulpit speaks out of us, me included, may line up with the Word of God, but when you pick this up and you get with God and you start that knowing relationship with Him and use it, it becomes revelation. And there ain't nothing, nothing can take that away from you unless you let it go. Now, you know, devil in hell, there ain't no evil spirit, no word can take God's revelation away from you once it comes to you. And I've had revelation about that, and I'm going to keep it. So therefore, when I speak these miracles over my family and my life, is it perfect? No. But we have a good life. Have you got the Proverbs 21, Travis? I think it says about the same thing. Yeah. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. What are troubles? You name it. It could be anything from little bitty to great big. So, what we just read in James, you learn to control your mouth. That's what that means. Whosoever keepeth his mouth, whoever controls it. And I'm going to tell you, when I was lost, I was the most hard-headed, most sometimes spiteful, most anti or reversing person. Sometimes I would be so rebellious. If somebody told me something, I would do opposite just because I didn't like that person, they said it. Even if what they said was the truth. I mean, something as stupid as, don't run that red light, you'll get a ticket. What? I ain't listening to you. Boom. That's stupid. My mother told me, whenever I was little, she had, and my mother, even before she became saved and born again, and daddy would, you know, spank you and do you punishment. Boy, mama like laid on thick. Now, she didn't abuse me. But when mama gave you a whooping, you remembered it. But she told me whenever I was little, she was trying to get me to obey her. She spanked me so much that even she was afraid she was hurting me. And she used reverse psychology. She wanted me to get up on the couch, sit down. She said, don't you get up there, I'll spank you. She said, I would jump right up there in a heartbeat. That's nothing more than flesh being manifested in me as a kid. And that grew in my life. And my mom and daddy did not cultivate it. I'm telling you here right now. I got in more trouble until I got to a mature enough age to see that, you know, if I'd stopped doing some of this, I wouldn't get in so much trouble. And then I morphed over into the, you know, the junk phase of life where, well, if I don't get caught doing it, I won't get in trouble. That's no good. Just don't do it. Job 22:28, please. When we speak, there's another word for it. It says declare. Declare is a synonym of the word decree. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. What is the light? It's the Lord. Yep. The light of the Lord shall shine upon us, his favor. Exactly right. So what do we want to decree? What do we want to say? Even though you know all of these things, I'm going to use me. I knew all of these things and I taught them. I mean, not taught them. I learned them and was taught here. I didn't always use them. So I didn't always do them. I was born again, but I was tripping myself up with my mouth. And I had to learn to quit doing it. And since I quit doing it, I pretty much don't do it much at all now for at least the last two or three years. And lots better things have been happening to me. Well, I take it back, except for the thing at work. That's only been like 6 weeks now. I thought, you know, Lord, okay, I've learned this. Whew, I got my revelation. I ain't going to have to deal with this no more. Guess what happened last week? Yeah. We got a little slow, and the dispatcher's hunting things for me today. Well, you want to go to Gunnersville? Yeah, I got time. I'll go to Gunnersville. Next thing you know, he sends me a dispatch to go a tractor, trailer, truck, not to Super Rock. This is worse, Super Rock. To a downtown place, deliver cement on 3rd Avenue in Birmingham. Now, those of you who don't know 3rd Avenue, it's not a good place for a truck, tractor, trailer, truck. Whew. I didn't complain. All I told him was, I said, I really wish you'd asked me before you sent this to me. He said, why? I said, because I'd have tried to talk you out of it. He said, why? He don't know about driving a truck, because it's a really hard place to get in and out of. I've never even been there. I could look on the map and tell it. But you know what happened? Since I didn't complain, I believe I passed the trial because my boss came in there and he said, come here. My boss drives a truck a little bit. He said, it's not as hard as you think. And he showed me a way to get in there that I couldn't see on the maps. You turn left off the interstate one time, drive straight to it. What kind of person would I look like? Yeah, I don't want to go down there like I used to do. Terrible, yeah. Can you imagine? I said I made it right. I went and told my dispatcher, my boss. I apologized to him about 2 weeks ago. I said, I'm not bragging on me, and I told them I'm not now. The Lord has blessed me. I've been driving 30 years, driving a truck. That's a lot of experience. Several years over the road, I've been in 39 of the 48 states. Some places you just could not imagine. And some, you know, it wasn't so bad. But when my boss hired me 5.5 years ago, that experience counted for something. You know, he didn't just hire me because, you know, I fit a 5'4" gauge or something, or because I'm pretty or talk real good or anything. It's because I had experience, and I had over 5 years experience in a particular thing we do. That was a tool. So I went to him and I said, you know, the Lord gave me a whooping, and I want to apologize to you and ask you to forgive me, you and Mike both, my dispatcher. They said, okay, we appreciate that. So, you know, how would it look if 2 weeks later I turn around and start complaining again? They won't believe nothing I say much after that, especially if I try to talk to them about the Lord, like I said before. So I had a really hard time with that, but I have learned whenever I speak something, even if I don't see it manifest right at that minute, God's word says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that eat it or eat the fruit of it shall have it thereof. So that means God's word said it. I believe it. I know it's true. God knows my heart. So I'm going to speak it whether I see it happen right that second or not, because God's word says this is the way it is. Now, what does that mean to say that? It ain't nothing to do with me, because without the Lord, I'm nothing. Without the Lord, I screwed my life up for 30 years. Went to jail for a while. Hooked on drugs for nearly half that time. I really didn't, you know, the only thing I really did good was work and make money. But I blowed money right and left on all the wrong things. But since then, the Lord has built me up. And I was telling Brother Scotty, I was planning on retiring in about 6 months, but it looks like, and according to what the Lord showed me, I'd be better off just to keep working for a little while longer. And I have been more blessed. We got a raise at work. I'm going to tell you why that happened. Wednesday before or Sunday. Brother Scotty preached 2026, a year of increase. Ain't that what you told us? And I said, Lord, and I'm going to tell you something else Brother Scotty said that the Lord planted right here. When Brother Scotty says he got revelation from something, he said he laid hold of it. You know what that means? He spoke those few words, I laid hold of it. That means he grabbed it and he hung on to it and he believed, because he knows it's God's word. So that's what I did. It came to my mind. How would I have known if I had not heard those words? So I laid hold of it. I got a 1% raise. Now, that don't sound like a lot. I'm not trying to get in my business, but we get paid on a percentage. I started out at 5 years ago. I'm up to 29. We were topping out at 30. I think we'll probably be 31 since we got this 1%, because I ain't supposed to get another raise for another year, according to their schedule. And I'm looking on my paperwork at checking off, make sure I got paid right. It said this such load paid 29%. $5 extra on that load. That don't sound like much, does it? But I go to that place at least 5 times a week. And then I go to another place that pays about the same, at least 5 times a week, 2 loads a day. That's $10 a day, $50 a week, $200 a month, $2,400 a year. Just on those loads. Anything that pays more is going to be more. Of course, anything that pays less is going to be a little less. But the point of it is it's increase. This is not my message either, but you know what I've got now? I have got a first fruits offering to come and bring to the Lord. What does that mean? Take my increase, the first part of it, and bring it to the Lord. So now I've got to set apart a first fruits offering and bring it to the Lord. I can give it to the church, or I can give it to Brother Scotty, Sister Trace, or any minister, or wherever the Lord tells me to give it. But it's a first fruits offering of my increase. First fruits is of your increase. And I seen that and I told April, I said, well, praise the Lord. And that ain't all. Whenever we get paid, some things they pay us hourly for. Setting and waiting, breakdown pay, paid time off, which is holidays and stuff. Usually it only pays $12 an hour. No, $16 an hour. Well, I got to look and I had asked for 12 hours off to cover my loads for one day because they're going to take off. And it didn't match 12 hours times $16 an hour. That's $192. I know that because I do it so much. I'm getting $288. So I get to breaking that down back and into it. You know how much that is? I went from $16 an hour to $24 an hour for hourly pay. That's 30%. Woo! Increase. I do enjoy the money. I mean, money's a tool. You can buy things, do things, bless people, do all kinds of things with money. But the point of it is, I spoke, Lord, I lay hold of what Brother Scotty said because I believe it came from you. Your word says it. I'm going to speak this into existence. And it's not like it's any magic trick or formula. Believe. Whew. That stirs me up because I spent so much of my life believing. You know, people can believe God and believe there is a God, but not believe God in faith. There's lost people that claim to be of the Christian faith. What does that mean? Do you believe like Christians believe? Where do you go to church? And if you do go to church, where's the fruit of you going to church? I didn't know you went to church. I witnessed to a guy at one of the jobs I had a few years ago, and I was telling about what I just witnessed or testified to y'all what I used to be and how I was. He looked at me because I had witnessed to people there, and I told the people, you know, I'm not working this Saturday because they made us work every Saturday because I got things I do at church, and Wednesdays, I'm not going to stay out late. Everybody that knew me well knew I was a Christian. And I was telling him my testimony and witnessing to him. He looked at me and he said, you know, looking at you, the way you talk and act, I'd have never known you were like that. And I said, you mean being a Christian? He said, no, all that other junk. And he told me something that blessed me. He said, being a Christian, is it hard? I said, no. I said, if I trust God and trust in His Word, it's not hard. I said, the devil makes it hard in this life because, and I went into the details of telling him about the curse of sin and all, and he stood there and listened to me. And he lives down there in Birmingham, and I invited him to come to church up here. You know, a lot of people are not going to drive that far, but anyway, I invite him. And whenever I witness to him, I said, if you want to drive, you're more than welcome to come to business up here, Faithway. But my point is, I spoke. And I didn't speak just empty words. I spoke what I know and what I believe. Now, a born-again Christian, when they decree and declare a thing, the whole Word of God, we are speaking the most powerful utterance and language there has ever been and ever will be in any world, the spiritual world, this natural world, and the world to come. When that revelation comes to a born-again Christian, Satan knows he better look out. Because he's going, ugh! It's another one I got to fight against. With his deceit. Because that's the only thing he's got. His lies. When we find out that he's lying and we got it all, it just, I love that illustration. A man comes up and points at you and your family, says, a gun at you and your family, get on the ground. You get on the ground because you're scared you're going to get shot. And you happen to notice the gun's not loaded. What you going to do? You're going to get up and try to do something. That's the way Satan is. He's got an empty gun. Like the man told Brother Scotty, we got the bullets and the gun and the fight's won. All we got to do is believe and then speak what we believe. There's nothing no greater for us. Miracles happened all throughout the Bible. God delivered the Israelites, the Jewish people, from the bondage of the Egyptians. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a miracle. Jesus' ministry is full of miracles, from his birth to his resurrection. And the message is clear. Our God is a God of miracles. A miracle for us, being born again, we can speak it and make it happen. Well, how do you say that? Brother Scotty prayed for a woman in a coma. What happens when you pray? Speak. Brother Scotty, do you think if you'd went over and, if I remember right, you grabbed her by the toe and prayed for her, right? What do you think happened if you just grabbed her by the toe and that isn't what the Lord told you to do? Nothing. Exactly right. Yes, God does know our heart. God sees everything we go through. God sees what's coming at us. God knows if we know and we believe it, if we don't. And the only other person that really knows for sure is you, me, until it is manifested in fruit coming out of us. And what's so awesome is whenever God sees that we know and it happens, you'll never forget it. I don't care how small or how big it is. Brother Scotty prayed for the woman. He spoke the words. Now, the reason he grabbed her big toe is that was the act of laying hands on her. It wouldn't matter if he grabbed her middle toe or pinky finger or laid his hands on her head. But he spoke the prayer of healing over her. He prayed the prayer of healing. He spoke it. Words. The old saying I used to hear on the playground a long time ago is, what was that? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not always true. That's not true. Words can hurt. Now, don't get me wrong. As a born-again Christian, we need to know what to do with those hurtful words. What do you do with them? Do you speak them? No. You speak forgiveness over them to, if it's concerning the person that they come from, and God will take care of it. He will put you in the place in His rest to where you'll rise above that hurt. I ain't saying it won't like bother you, but you'll rise above it. It'll be something in your rearview mirror that you won't have to set and fight in your heart. Because what Satan wants you to do is set in your mind, whatever those words are, boom, boom, through your brain like a million miles per hour train. And every time it runs through your brain, it's producing the same effect, if not more amplified it did the first time. If you will speak the words, say, Lord, and mean it, I forgive them. God will take that zoom, zoom, zoom and all that hurt away. I know that from experience. What Jesus did in his ministry is what we should expect when we go to church. John 14:12, please. Man, this just did not. Sister Tracy, we need to ask for an hour. Brent Scotty heard that, didn't I? I say it out loud. I'm just kidding. This is Jesus talking. Now, you might say, well, how can we speak miracles? Why aren't we supposed to speak miracles? Jesus did wondrous miracles. Healed the sick, caused the blind to see, raised from the dead. Just to mention those. More than once. As a matter of fact, I believe it says in Mark, if there was a book written of all the good things he did, it wouldn't hold them. And he said here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's talking to his disciples. What are we supposed to be? Disciples of Jesus. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And look here, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In other words, he's dependent on us. through the Holy Spirit to carry on through our discipleship, his ministry, ministry of reconciliation back to God, all through the time until he comes back to earth. That's one of the jobs of Christians. I'd call it a job, for lack of a better word. That's one of the tasks, the thing that a Christian person is actually supposed to do. You're supposed to rise up in your walk with God and become mature enough that you can tell somebody, how would you explain to somebody about being born again? I want you to ask yourself that. I'm not, you know, trying to get somebody to answer it, because that's what I asked the Lord. How do I explain to somebody, Lord, that, you know, the Holy Spirit has to convince them through the Word, the Lord Jesus, that they're lost? You can't do that. But you can use words guided by the Holy Spirit and do it. They're right here. And I asked God, so how do I explain to them the difference? And that's when he told me. And I said, I know I believe, Lord. He said, well, how do you believe? Because I know. And it was a boom, 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 fireworks revelation. Because I know. If you ask somebody if they're lost or born again, if you died right now, even if you don't believe it, that there's one there, but there really is, would you go to heaven or hell? Born again people go to heaven. People who are not born again go to hell. Now, there's lots of other things in there you can say to them. But if you ask them that one question, some will lie to you. Oh, yeah, I'm a good person. I'll go to heaven. And then you have another side thing on your ministry. You got to explain to them about the Word of God and about life. If they say, I don't know, they're not born again. There's an old hymnal called Blessed Assurance. Look it up and look at the first verse. The first verse all the way to the chorus. I know it by heart, but I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to hurt y'all's feelings. Listen, Brother Johnny, sing it. I'll repeat the words, Blessed Assurance, Glory Divine. Oh, what a foretaste of that glory divine. When you know you're born again, what's happening on inside? And Lord, this ain't nothing to do with my notes. But anyway, when you're born again, what happens to you on inside is so eventful and life-changing that it's so overwhelming to the point that it's a taste of the glory that's going to come to you when we leave this world and go to be with the Lord. It's a taste of it. The Bible says, oh, taste the Lord and see that he is good. It's not that you taking a bite of his finger or something. No, taste of his glory. That's what is inside us and the indwelt Holy Spirit, that you know you're born again. If you got a foretaste of that glory divine, nobody can take that away from you. And I want to strive to pass that to anybody that I can. But to do it, I've got to use words to do it. Being a born-again Christian, I've only got a minute left. When you learn how to speak the words you need to speak, you'll know how to speak the power of God to loose the things that needs to be broken in your life and other people's lives. What did that scripture right there say? The works that I do, shall you do also in greater than these? Jesus spoke words into people's life and broke things that was binding them and in bondage. You'll also learn how to speak the power of God to loose the things that come against you and against people in your family, men especially, married men, husbands, fathers. You need to know this. I need to know it. Now I'm going to get way over here. Travis, you put up this last verse, Psalms 118, please. Now, there's some other verses before this and after this, but this one in particular, it says, this is Psalmist David speaking, I shall not die but live and do what? Declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to stick my name in there behind the word I. I, Monty, shall not die. I am born again. but live and declare the works of the Lord. And I'm just going to add a little paraphrase for me, all of the rest of my days. God has been good to Monty. Thank y'all for listening to me this morning. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say?